Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. I'm a Catholic priest. Thank you so much for inviting me into your home. I want to share with you the Word of God. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the Word says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for Christ Jesus for you." One time I walked into a church, and as I was walking into it, I almost tripped on something. And what I almost tripped on was the baptismal font. It was a large font that you can be fully immersed in, that they actually do baptisms in. And what happens is, as you walk into the church, people will dip their hands to remind themselves of their baptism. Now, years ago, we used to put those baptismal fonts off by the side, even in a little chapel, and you'd hardly even know that they're in the church. But the liturgy documents tell us the baptismal font ought to be, quote, in the way. So in other words, when you walk into the church, you almost trip over it because they want it to be in the way, not off to the side somewhere. And the reason why we want the baptismal font to be right in the way is, number one, to remind you that you've been baptized into Christ. And number two, so that you will realize what it means to be baptized into Christ. You see, when we are immersed in baptism, we are plunged into Jesus. Our religion is something called Christocentric. When I talk about Christianity, it isn't that we pray on our own. It's not a religion where God is out there somewhere and we're here. Rather, it's Christocentric, which means that we are in Christ, through Christ, and with Christ. Baptism is a symbol of who we are as Christians. Christian, the word Christian means partisan of Christ. We're a part of Christ. We're connected with Christ. We're plunged into Christ. So you have to understand something about yourself. You have been baptized into Christ, and Christ lives in you. Paul the Apostle said, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." And Paul the Apostle also said, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." So I want to lay that foundation because it's very important that you understand that a new reality has occurred. In fact, Paul further went on to say that we are new creations in Christ. It's no longer just us, but Christ lives in us. An image that I like to use, that I like to think about, is when we are born, we are connected to our mothers by an umbilical cord. And that umbilical cord, of course, provides nutrients and moisture and, you know, what we need to live. But then the cord is cut, and when the cord is cut, the baby starts to cry, because naturally we are meant to be connected. And this is the way that God has ordered it. This is the way that God has arranged it. God wants us to be connected. And He gave His Son so that we could be connected to Him. Scripture says that He was the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. So in Him, we are connected. At Mass, if you're Catholic, during the Mass, toward the end of it, at the doxology, it's called. The doxology is when we give glory, doxa, glory to God. We pray, the priest will pray, through Him, with Him, and in Him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Heavenly Father, forever and ever. Amen. So I think that's a beautiful way to live. Through Christ, in Christ, and with Christ. This whole series is going to be devoted to that notion of being in Christ, being plunged into Christ, being connected to Christ, being in communion with Christ. Because you must understand, as Christians, We don't live apart from Christ. It's not being self-reliant. It's not having confidence in yourself. Rather, it's being confident in Christ, reliant upon Christ, in Christ. Let's just take a look at that phrase just for a second. How about through him? I love what Philippians 4 says. It says that I can do all things through Christ, not I can do all things in my own strength or by relying upon my talents and my good looks or whatever it is, but rather I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So really, whatever you're facing at this moment in your life, it could be you're grieving or some physical problems or relationship problems or monetary problems or whatever the difficulties are, and we all have all kinds of trials and problems and difficulties, the scriptures teach us that in Christ and through Christ, we can do all things. Paul was talking about contentment at that very moment because a lot of people are not happy and they're discontented. And what he was saying is, you know, whether I'm in prison or whether I'm well fed, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then Jesus would always say, I am with you. Remember now, we're talking about through him, with him, and in him. The beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, we hear about Emmanuel. That's a term for Jesus, the Son of God, which means God with us. In the middle of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name, I am there with you. I am in your midst. And then at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, so at the beginning, the middle, and the end, the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus sends them forth with the Great Commission, his disciples, and he says, go into the whole world and preach the gospel and know this, that I am with you always till the end of time. Wow. So just think about it. Whatever you are facing in your life right now, whatever challenges, and maybe it is evangelization, and that is such a great call. It's a call to all of us as participants in Christ, as members of his body. To me, that image of baptism being plunged into the water and coming out sopping wet, that's the closest we can get to being in. when you dive into the ocean, into the water, you're being in. And that's an image of just the depths that God wants for us as disciples and as believers. Some 164 times in the Bible, I was looking this up to prepare for this talk, the Bible talks about being in Christ or in him. Can you imagine the theological concept that Paul and others would write about this some 164 times? This is a major concept, folks. We have to understand that Christianity is something very deep. It's different from any other religion. As I said, it's Christocentric. We are in Christ. It's through him, with him, and in him. And because we are in Christ, we can face the challenges, the adversities, and the hardships of our life. So when we pray, it's really important to understand that we're praying to God not just in our own strength and in our own ability, we're praying in Christ, through Christ, with Christ. Jesus, who lives in us, is actually praying to the Father through us. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does, intercedes through us as we pray. So please understand that it's not just you praying. It's Christ praying in you. He lives in you. You're a Christian. It's really important to understand that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. That is such a major concept. As I said before, Paul said, it's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. I have died, and now Christ lives in me. That's what happens in baptism. You die with Christ and you rise with Christ. So we pray to the Father in Christ, through him, with him, and in him. So please understand that. When you go to prayer, it's really important. Do that sometime. Just say, Jesus, pray through me. Holy Spirit, pray through me. And your prayer will be effectual. And God looks at you, not just as you. He looks at you in Christ. It says in the letter to James that the prayer of a righteous person has great effect. And he was talking about Elijah and others who prayed with great fervor, people that were righteous in the Bible. Well, our righteousness isn't good enough. When we pray, it's in the justice, the integrity, the virtue of Jesus. So now that he's in us, when we pray, we have effectual prayers because it's Christ in us praying. And not only do we pray to God in Christ, we also pray to Christ. Let me try to explain what that is. When I'm in the morning, when I wake up in the morning, most people do this, probably you too, you just lay there for a little bit, and as you're laying there in bed, you can't help but think about what's going to happen during the course of the day, and meetings that you have, and people that you're going to be seeing, and things like that. And sometimes you can get stressed out and anxious just laying there in bed in the morning. Well, one thing that I do, that I try to do, is to put those thoughts aside and simply pray to Jesus, even as I'm lying in bed. This is the very beginning of my day. Just lying in bed. And I don't even say a word. You must understand that God communicates telepathically. And what I mean by that is simply by thoughts. You don't even have to say anything. All you have to do is think it. And sometimes you can hear from God in your thoughts, because God communicates telepathically. So what am I doing at that moment in the day? I am putting Jesus on my mind. I'm praying to God on my mind. I remember one time on the radio, I was listening to a song by Willie Nelson, and it was called "You Are Always on My Mind." And he was talking about a relationship that he had with a girl, and he said, "I haven't loved you like I should, but you are always on my mind." And that's the way it is in a prayer relationship. We don't always love Jesus like we can or should, but if we can put him on our mind, then we're growing in our relationship with Christ. We're becoming in him and attached to him and having communion with him. And that's so very important. And praying is such a wonderful thing to do when you can develop a personal relationship with Christ. Now, when you just start off in the morning, and you're thinking about Jesus, that does two things. Number one, it connects you with Christ. And number two, pushes out all the anxieties, all the worries, all the stress. That's called cognitive replacement therapy. So please try that in the morning. Just in the morning when you're laying there in bed, don't let all the thoughts just come. Intentionally pray and watch what happens. That's how you live in Christ and through him and with him and pray directly to him. So then I get up, and as soon as I get up, number one thing that I do is this. I say, "Glory, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit." Now, what am I doing there? I do that every morning. I am establishing, as I begin my day, that I want everything that I do to be to the honor and the glory and the majesty of God. Now, God's glory is his electricity, his pleasure, his beauty, if you will. And I want to please God by my life. So right as you begin your day, don't wait until after you've had breakfast or you've watched the morning news or various other things that you can do. Right as soon as you start lying there in bed, start thinking about God. As soon as you get up, say, "Glory to you, God." And then you start to go on with your day. And it's very important to give glory to God. That's exactly what Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians. He said that you have to live for the glory of God. Do all things to the glory of God. And actually, there's a community in the Catholic Church called the Jesuits. And their motto is, "For the greater glory of God." That's so important. So really, prayer is all about trying to glorify God, to honor God, to worship God. And so start off first thing in the morning. And then I wanted to tell you, right as I go to bed, and this is important too, right before I go to bed, I pray, "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit." Do you know that that is a prayer that a good Jewish person said right before he went to bed, or right before she went to bed? "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit." That is exactly how Jesus died on the cross. In the Gospel of Luke, he committed his life, his spirit, himself to God on the cross. And so as you live your life, frame it by prayer. I think What I'm trying to tell you is that prayer isn't just something that you do formally. It's not just something that you do liturgically. It's not just what we do at Mass or other times. Rather, prayer ought to be the whole context of our life. From the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment that you go to bed at night and everything in between. In fact, we don't just pray, we are prayers. We are people of prayer. Remember, we pray through Him, with Him, and in Him. Christ lives in us. We are in Christ. So as you go throughout your day, oftentimes we can get distracted. There's a lot going on. There's temptations, TV programs, music, as I said, distractions from every way and means. There's all kinds of noise going on. And we can get distracted, and somehow God gets pushed to the side. So what we have to do, or what I try to do, is short statements of prayer, really important. For example, and this keeps me connected, just little vocal prayer. Things like, Lord, lead me, guide me, control me. It's not hard to do. Prayer is very simple. Lord, lead me, guide me, control me. Now remember, we're talking about being in Christ. It's not just about where we want to go or what we will or what we think we should do. It's, Lord, you be in charge of my life. Lord, you take control. Lead me, guide me, control me. Great prayer to pray is Veni Sancte Spiritus. Come, Holy Spirit. I love that prayer. Here's a real simple prayer. Help. Lord, I ask for your help. Always remember to tell God that you love Him. Lord, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. No matter what you're going through. That's how I began with that reading. This is the will of God for you. The will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That you would give thanks in all circumstances. I don't know if you've ever seen the news. You probably have on CNN or sports or stock market. Right underneath, you'll see the lower thirds running across the screen. It could be telling you what's happening in different parts of the world. If you're watching sports, it can be giving the scores. If you're watching a business station, it'll be giving the stock markets and things like that. And that's the way prayer can be. It can be pray always, constantly going. And if you're speaking to the Lord, just simply giving short prayers, that's praying always. If you're thinking about the Lord, that's praying always. And it's not all that hard to do. So what I'm saying is the context of your day from the beginning to the end ought to be framed by prayer. And then throughout the day, giving thanks, watching the news, short little prayers, I surrender to you, I love you, Lord, I give you thanks. One thing I do right before I go to bed is this. I always do this. Right at the end of the day, I sit in my chair, turn all the lights off, and I do something called the examine. And the examine is when you examine your conscience. You kind of run through the day very quickly, and you think about the people that you saw, some events that possibly happened in your life, and you think about, how did I handle that? How did things go? Did I sin? What did I do? And you just real quietly, it only takes about a minute, you invite the Lord into your day. And you say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. That is the prayer of the desert. They used to go into the desert fathers, way back in the year 200, 300 AD. And they had this prayer. It was called the prayer of the desert. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. And so right before you go to bed, you're praying for mercy. And God does have mercy on us. So again, when you're in Christ, you don't so much pray, you become a person of prayer all the time. Then there were formal times of prayer. Of course, for Catholics, when you go to Mass or you have liturgical prayer, for others of you who aren't Catholic, when you go to services on Sunday or other days of the week, maybe you go to a funeral, whatever it may be, there are formal times of prayer. And one of the formal times of prayer that I really like, I live at a retreat center. And it's in Houston, and the retreat center that I live at, Holy Name Retreat Center, dedicated to the name of Jesus. Remember, we are in Him. And at Holy Name Retreat Center, it's pretty quiet, and people that come on retreat, you know, they read books and they hear talks and they spend a little time in solitude. I love reading books. That's why I've written 23 books to date, and I offer them to you for purchase, because as you read a book, I believe that that is a prayer. As you spend some time in quiet, that is a prayer. One of the places that I like to go on retreat, Big Sur, California, there's a retreat center called the Camaldolese. They're kind of like the Benedictines, very contemplative, and it overlooks the Pacific Ocean. I like to say that creation mediates contemplation. Just looking out at the vast blue Pacific and at night, the stars, so beautiful. I received my call to be on television by looking at the stars. And I remember thinking in the midst of a retreat, if you can do all this, certainly I can get on television and proclaim the gospel. Because at that time I had no contacts, no money, no anything. And I was hoping and praying, and sure enough, God heard my prayer. Now I've been on television for 14 years, preaching the gospel all around the world on the 3 Christian networks and many other stations besides. And what a joy it is. See, God hears our prayers. We connect with God. So on retreats, one of the things that I like to do when I'm just spending a few days away from all the hustle and the bustle, I like to take a walk. And that's very biblical. It says that Noah walked with God, Abraham walked with God, Enoch walked with God. Remember the story in the New Testament? Jesus was just risen from the dead. 2 disciples from Emmaus, they're on the road to Emmaus, they're walking. Jesus came and walked with them, opened their minds to the scriptures. And all of a sudden, their hearts started burning because the Lord was with them. So take a walk. Breathe the fresh air. Relax a little bit. Get in touch with God within you. And I tell that to people, especially that are struggling maybe with some depression or discouragement, get out and take a walk. Get some exercise. That's part of your prayer. And prayer is so vitally important. You hear the birds, you know, you get in touch with nature, and you get in touch with the voice of God within you. I remember on retreat one time I was taking a walk, and I came upon a tree, and there on the trunk of the tree was a little plaque. It was Psalm 34, and it said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth." And I thought to myself, yes, we ought to be giving thanks all the time, blessing God, praising God. Because remember what I said, prayer isn't just something that you do isolated incident. It's something that we do, hopefully we become a person of prayer because Christ lives in us. And that's what I want you to grasp this throughout this series. I want you to realize that you're not apart from God. It's through Him, with Him, and in Him. We've been plunged into Christ, and we have to stay connected. Jesus put it this way, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you, and you will bear much fruit." And so gratefulness, I think, is the primary virtue of a Christian. Gratitude, being grateful, giving thanks. I just read that from 1 Thessalonians to you. It is the will of God for you. People are always saying, what's the will of God? We pray in the Our Father, thy will be done. What's the will of God? That we give thanks in all circumstances. Now, some of your circumstances aren't the best, and I'm not saying that you thank God for the circumstances, but thank God in the circumstances, because Christ lives in you. And because Christ is in you, with you, and through Christ, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And He certainly strengthens us to prayer too. So prayer isn't complicated. It's really not that hard. It's really simple. It can be as easy as thinking about God. You are always on my mind. Remember, God communicates telepathically. It can be as simple as saying, thank you. Help me. I surrender to you. It's as simple as taking a walk. It's really not complicated. It's as simple as reading a book. I heard somebody say one time, you know, those who don't read live one life, but those who read books live 1,000 lives. So make sure that you pray. But don't just pray in your own strength, of your own person. Realize that you and I have been plunged into, immersed in union with Christ, that we are in Him, He is in us, and now through Him, with Him, and in Him, God hears our prayers and pours His favor upon us, and even answers our prayers according to His will. So as you give praise and thanks to God, may you sense His favor, His strength, His power, and His blessing, and don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizzegna. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.